Welcome to the RL Life Podcast, where we speak to top business and thought leaders from around the world. This episode is a replay of one of our live business insight sessions tackling the hottest and most pressing trends with leading industry experts. Be part of this conversation as it happens with RL Life. Visit rllife.com to learn more. Gain early access to various insight sessions and join over 8,000 leading business executives from top 500 companies in Europe to build meaningful professional relationships and hear from renowned experts all year long. Visit rllife.com to apply for membership today.
My name is Jeroen Baardemans, and I'm happy to moderate this session today with you. We are going to talk about a very interesting topic that is basically at everybody's desk right now. Two topics, actually. The combination of, on the one hand, generative AI, and on the other hand, cybersecurity. Because the generative AI development is going so quickly, and so cybersecurity does. And then the question is, since it develops so quickly, who will be more adaptive to it than when it comes to cybersecurity? Are the defenders, like your organizations, or the attackers who can also make use of generative AI? Of course, that's what we're going to talk about, because it is a recent McKinsey study that shows that more than one third of the organizations already using generative AI tools. And this sounds, of course, like innovation, a good development, and new opportunities and new chances, but there are also risks. And then the question, of course, is, are organizations able to adapt swiftly enough to protect their, let's say, digital fortresses? Let me briefly introduce to you our two guests of today. First, start with Jürgen Melberg. He is the Chief Information Security Officer at Inwido, Europe's leading window group, and he has a very experienced background in all kind of different sectors, leading information cybersecurity teams from manufacturing to financial services to postal services and telecommunications. So we're really happy to hear his thoughts and his practical insights on his daily practice. Secondly, we have Hanne Hansen. She is the former Chief Information Security Officer at Energinet, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, an independent public enterprise owned by the Danish Ministry of Climate and Energy. She told me that she started about 38 years ago as a bank clerk, handwritten tasks. She got sick of it and started to deep dive in programming and IT, and that resulted in already a 38-year experience on a more global perspective, on a more holistic perspective, and also more on a geopolitical perspective as well. So we are also very interested to hear her thoughts as well. Hi, Hanne. Welcome to our show. I guess you're live from Denmark, right?
That is true. I am placed in the Copenhagen area, so I'm enjoying the very early spring with, of course, some rain. But the bird has waked up, so I think we will see spring very soon in Denmark.
Ah, great. Great to hear. I'm asking my tech colleagues over here to put up the sound a little bit so I can hear you loud and clear. Jürgen, also a very warm welcome to you. I think that's not your life background, is it? Or at least I hope it is for you, but I guess it's not, right?
No, it's not. It's more of our windows from Finland that we have in the background here. But it's a lovely spring day there as well. But yeah, it was only yesterday we had some snow here in southern Sweden as well. So yeah, but it will come. It will come, we hope.
Great, great. Thanks. I was already start talking and then the first question already came in. So I think we're touching a really, really current topic here right now. And let me just kick off with the first question already. Aspen asks, how can security keep up with the rate of development of generative AI? Basically the red threat question of today, of course. But what are your first thoughts? Because how do you see it? It's developing so quickly. People have to be aware of that, but on the other hand, our attackers are also making use of the quick development of AI. What are your first thoughts, Hanna, to start off with you?
I think it's definitely a challenging task, and I don't know if we ever never will be in a position where we can cope and stay up to date, because as we all know, things are changing so fast, and there are, again, a business out there that are actually spending a lot of money doing this. But we can always try to be smart, and we can try to learn, and we can, of course, always do a lot of training practices, not only with, you can say, the people dimension of an organization. We can also do it with AI and the way we are structuring our development, our operation infrastructure, and so on. So we as at least try to decide and put up the battlefields that we want to fight with these heavy activities that we are seeing as we speak.
You're talking about a battlefield, Jürgen. Do you agree with this term of a battlefield? How do you see the development of AI regarding the development of cybersecurity policies and measures in general?
We are a bit late to the party as such. We have the attackers. They are early adopters, as always. They're trying everything out, and they have a new tool now out. That is AI, so they can use that to their winning as well. But we should still understand that AI is a science, and we need to treat it as such, and we need to make sure that we do it in a more responsible way when we're doing it from a corporate side of view. So we will be a bit down the road from the attackers, but I think in the long run, I think we will keep up and also might overrun the attackers with our best defense. That we really have a lot of data on our hand that we're able to look at and see what kind of attacking patterns there are out there. So I think in the long run we will be beating the attackers, but they have the overhand now.
Yeah, it really sounds like a war, Hanna. How do you see what Jürgen's just saying? We are a bit late to the party. We're basically, on a defeat currently, but we are still have to work on overcome this.
Absolutely, but I think we need to keep in mind that AI is a advanced Excel sheet with a lot of data. So we need, from a company perspective, a corporate perspective, we need to be in control of our data. We need to know our assets. We need to know where the asset is. And by that, that's what I mean by we can try to set up the area or the battlefield where we would like to take a fight with these that are, as Jørgen are stating, two steps ahead at the moment, by making sure we protect what we know is our golden sources, and try to make sure that where they potentially can go, that we step up. And in an area where we actually have mechanism, and you spoke about policies, procedures in place to actually be sure that it will be an equal battle that we are going into. And just talking about the AI, remember, it needs to be trained. And nowadays, we see other types of attack where the hackers are trying to learn for attack where they fail. For example, password spray is a tremendous good example of where they are getting lesson learned by the attack without reaching the goal, and then they wait a week where they again start training the AI, the GPUs and stuff like that, and then try to moderate. But we need to be in a position where we get the lesson learned from what we are doing, what we are seeing, and combining that with our protection and detections, of course.
Yeah, but are you stating then that the attackers, so to speak, are more up to speed when it comes to training AI, learning from experiments than, let's say, the defenders' organizations are?
I think I would express it this way. The hackers, that's their daily work, right?
Yeah.
The rest of us, we have a business, we have a value chain that we need to look after at the same time. So from a prioritization point of view, they very easily can get one step ahead of us because we are forced and we need to look at the value chain of the company. Yeah.
Like I said, you have more a more holistic global perspective, geopolitical perspective, of course. Like Jürgen said, we are, well, one or two steps behind, a bit late to the party. How do you see that, or more on a more global level?
From a global perspective, it is a threat we need to take extremely serious. And again, from a geopolitical point of view, we have a group that wants intellectual properties. So they just want to get the insight. And then on the other hand, you have a huge group that are actually trying to destroy you. And AI is and can be one of the first step in actually destroying your business by utilizing AI and other technology at the same time, for example.
Yeah. Jürgen, I'd like to get back to you. You stated that AI is a science. Hannah just stated that the hackers, basically, it's their one and only job to hack, to attack. People and organizations, most of the times, of course, are not fully focused on this. They have more things to do, so to speak. What are your thoughts, given your daily practice? And you talk, of course, a lot with other companies and other people within your own organization as well. How do you see this difference maybe in focus?
Yeah, the focus is also that the attackers can afford to be wrong as well. They can try something out that didn't really pan out that the way it should be. But us as defenders, we're not allowed to be wrong, because then we will block something that is on our side and our business will go down. So from that point of view, they can try out and test new things and try out to see what is working and so on. And they are really, really good at that one. So as well as they have the information part on their side to look at the more OSINT data and so on, the open source data, and try to localize where we have our weak points currently.
Yeah.
And especially when they can use different languages to another way now, when we have these large language models. So like attacking like Japanese companies that hasn't been attacked that much before, since they have a quite strange language for all our Westerners. And now they're able to pinpoint the attacks for that language with phishing and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So we will see they are approaching new frontiers on their side as well.
Yeah. Let's try to get a bit more practical. For example, Heiko also asked this question. Do you have an example of using AI to defend against attacks and how beneficial it is? Do you have maybe, Jürgen, Hannah, do you have a practical example from maybe within your own organization, or a practical example from outside your organization that you can share with us?
I can say from our side, and now I'm former, as you've started with, and it has no connection, just to be clear. But the fact that we saw some of these password spray, where it was obviously that AI technology and data was used, we tried to turn that around to actually improve our control systems and update our control system. Is it easy? No, it not, because again, it is training. And I think, Sharon, when we spoke just briefly last week, again, AI is an Excel arc with a lot of data. And I keep comparing it with a child in the mother. It can swim by default. It's in water, but it does not mean that 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years old, that it's by default can go out and swim in the ocean. You need to practice. And the same goes for the companies. It's fine. We are trying to utilize the AI and train and on models and all of that. But if you don't keep practice and have an aim for why you are doing it.
Yeah.
So it's just to say, don't just adopt AI. Have an aim for adopting AI in your business. What is it that you want? I'm fully aware it does not answer the question how to protect the company, but again, be careful not to open vulnerabilities, because it is data, it is your data that you are basically going out and share with the entire world if you are not protecting it correctly.
So it maybe doesn't answer the question completely, but what you're saying is that you first have to, before you start, well, let's say implementing AI, you first have to start think why you are doing this and how you're going to do that, and based on that you have to define your, let's say, security strategy, because then it really fits on your goal and you really prioritize the steps you have to make before making sure that you are defending your organization well. Jürgen, I can imagine that in your daily practice you are, let's say, dealing with this training part Hannah just mentioned. Can you give us an example how you deal with that in your organization, as an maybe inspiration for others to learn from?
Yeah, it is to have a good communication with your business that are really eager to use Gen AI and so on. So that's good to open up the discussion. Why are we using this? What are we trying to accomplish? And also, there are many different ways to use somewhat similar techniques, like what we have RPA, like robotics. We have also machine learning that is somewhat a science as AI. But if we're going to take a stab regarding how we're using AI today to try to defend ourselves, I think we have a lot from our vendors that are more silos based, that they are using within their services AI in some way or form. But as a more of an open AI to assist you or augment things in our environment, we haven't seen that too much today, that breaking these kind of silos to communicate between different security services and so on. But there are ways to use it to do stuff like tedious things that you normally do, like update documentation that are not being updated otherwise. You can also use it for reporting for incidents or anything like that to make it more complete. And doing these things that we are having a real hard time to do every time we have an incident, because it takes time, it's tedious and so on. help out with more of the Gen AI thing and Copilot from Microsoft and so on that are helping out to create these kind of documentation and those things, at least to be at least the foundation where you can build upon your next Gen AI tool set.
And for example, go ahead, Hannah.
And Jørgen, I fully agree on the fact that it can be used to a lot of these documentation reporting perspective, but still you need to be in control of your data. You need to verify, you need to have your quality check of your data that you are collecting, because again, it will not have an opinion if it's 14 or 14.5 that is the correct result. So having an eye and a view on your data lineage, your data quality is still key. And that's where you're coming. I'm coming back to your comment regarding you need to have a strategy, a tactic, and how to ensure that the quality is correct of what you are doing, because the output is not better than the input in these cases.
Yeah.
But definitely it will be a game changer for the ones that are in control of their data and the quality of the data.
Mm. And the early adopters that will take on this now will need to train, and they will need to put in resources into Gen AI to really get the value out of it, because it won't give you value from day one. It is down the road we will eventually get that big value that we would like in the long run.
And because Ben also has a question on that, I think it's maybe your point as well, Hannah. Ben states, AI as a line of defense, it is powerful, but how can we secure that it does not return against us? For example, a leak of sensitive data, backdoor leaks. It's like a bit you were saying, Jürgen, a few minutes ago, we as organizations are not allowed, or not, well, it's not allowed for us to make mistakes as the attackers can, but we can't. What would be your key takeaway in order to deal with this risk of that things that we are organizing are coming back against us?
It's the same as we're starting to use cloud. Cloud was also a big thing when we started out with that. We were putting all our data in someone else's data center. How can we make that secure and so on? And this is a similar thing. We need to the standard things, classify our information, what should we put out there, and doing that in a structured way. Maybe we shouldn't share everything, but some things we should share and also put it in those kind of boundaries. And so we need to create that trust, that we trust the service or trust the science, that it works for us. And the only way we can trust something is to test it out, see what we get back from it, and also see that there is value here and it doesn't have any side effects that we didn't think of, so to say.
It's a matter of trust. And Hannah, I saw you smiling when Jürgen was talking about like the clouds.
Yeah, again, we are talking about a very fast changing world here. And yes, we started out with cloud. We spoke about data leak prevention. Now we just see robotic as well being a big topic. How do we ensure that we are not replicating an error very fast by both robotic, machine learning, etc.? And now we are standing with some of the same questions again, just with another technology. And as Jørgen are saying, the perspective of training in these model is key. And again, we know it's fancy, we know it's new, we know that developer like this world and they will do whatever to get into the space. And that's why I keep saying, think twice, make sure you have a strategy and you know how and what you want to yeah. use it for, because otherwise it can be a tough world to be in, because you can't control your data.
Yeah.
Just as we saw in the beginning with cloud, a wrong tick in a box when you configure your cloud and it became public cloud, basically and available for all that has an interest in your data.
Yeah.
Before we hear more insights from our esteemed guests, I'd like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the AuroLife Business Network, the exclusive community for Europe's leading CXOs. Exchange ideas with your peers, gain insights from top industry experts, and connect with executives who truly understand your unique challenges. AuroLife is where CXOs like you make valuable connections. Visit AuroLife.com to learn more.
I see, by the way, someone in the audience who's really on the positive side of the spectrum when it comes to both of your statement on the importance of data. She or he says, I see that AI will be a great motivation to finally get control of data correct. So that would also be an argument to take this step within organizations. I would like to discuss another important point when we talk about AI and cybersecurity in general, and that's the role of regulation, legislation, compliance, and let's say boundaries or restrictions that we might come across talking about that. Jürgen, to start off with you, how do you see the role of legislation when it comes to AI related to cybersecurity? Because we do have many questions coming in. People, for example, state, well, does cybersecurity maybe, restrict us in finding proper defensive solutions when it comes to cybersecurity? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is something that you always need to look at, and also it's continuously changing as well. So an answer that you will get from Gen AI today won't be the same as for tomorrow. So it is all depending on what data you have in the background. So combining data and that, we can see that combining some data will be a GDPR issue. Would it reside there? Can we control it in some way? And those kind of things. It will open up quite a lot of different discussions that we need to have and see where the risks lie, and also where our regulations are continuously changing as well. And of course, we need to be responsible here and also to look at the AI Act and those kind of things that we're looking at. But we have different countries that are not having these kind of regulations, and they will try out things that can get some additional benefits from their side. So it will be a minefield going forward regarding that.
Yeah, Hannah, what are your thoughts?
I fully agree to Jørgen's perspective here, and I will say regulation for sure will increase. AI Act is one dimension, as all know. NIS2 is coming, will hit third party, your supplier, and you have network coding that are also coming from at least EU perspective. For the financial institutes, you have DORA regarding Resilience Act. So a lot of these regulation and acts that are coming will definitely in some area make it more difficult, because you can say they are setting some basic rules for utilizing all of the opportunities. But again, I think having common sense in regards to AI and the opportunity is the key for the future as well. And as Jørgen say, yes, again, it's your classification of data, your type of data that you need definitely to have in mind, no matter which way your business are going or which type of incidents or hacker attack that you are finding going forward.
Yeah, but the thing is, of course, and then again, to a more holistic global perspective, perhaps, attackers do not wait for legislation to come, but countries, both on the national level as well, and therefore also organizations who work in locally or multinationally, they sometimes have to wait for legislation before they are allowed to implement certain AI tools or certain also maybe some security measures as well. That's a big challenge, I guess, right?
Absolutely. But again, there's nothing that are blocking or stopping to be proactive perspective. Rather put your protection, your detection, etc. in place and then adjust according to the regulation. Because at least as the world looks like right now, I don't think it's okay just to lay back and nothing is happening here in the world, so I can wait until new regulation are approved or expected to be implemented.
Yeah.
Be proactive and start the journey.
Yeah, Jürgen, can you give us some insights in how you deal in your daily practice with this? How do you make sure that your organization keeps on being up to speed, maybe that step ahead?
Yeah, it's having that communication and also talking about what kind of attacks will we see using Gen AI. We know that they're using it for phishing, and we have seen that that they're getting more and more clever, even in the Scandinavian languages and so on, that we have had quite easy going forward. But of course, we will see that more and more having a good grammatical attacks, so to say. We will see malware. It's getting easier to create those. We have coding for us. Of course, the attackers will use the same tools and create the better coded malware, as well as also being able to take current codes and add on malware to those, so they could inject the malware into our code that we already have if they get access to code source, yep. So to say.
And do you also use, I think that was the question of Stuart, sorry, so many questions coming in, thank you all for that, but I think it was Stuart's question, do you also use AI to find out where your weak spots in your security are? Do you also use AI yourself in order to find out where you have to be more cautious or more protective?
Yeah, not currently, but I can see that, like for threat hunting and so on, that we can utilize AI much more going forward, and also just to see where our weak points are to really poke a bit regarding our environment to be able to look at that, and also creating playbooks based on that. So of course we always need to verify and check what it does, but at least we could get some additional help on that. But it's not something that is in production right now, but we're getting there. We're a bit late to the party, but in some way or form we will get there.
Yeah, Hannah, so you're nodding. It sounds a bit like that's a traditional form of ethical hacking, I would say, using AI to see how harmful AI can be. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, of course we are trying. So of course we have our own white hacking team, stuff like that, simply to try out. But it is also from a learning perspective, from a training perspective, because don't forget the human being and the human factor in a lot of things we are doing is our highest risk. And it means that we can train, we can analyze, we can combine, we can get results, but somehow we need to take action, we need to prioritize, we need to be sure that we are taking things in the right steps. And again, linking back to the geopolitical position, is it because they want information, or do they want to damage our business?
And I think because there are some questions coming in on, I think it's touching this topic on this human interaction and the human factor. That is a topic on deepfake. For example, in the Netherlands, it's really current right now, but there's also someone asking, what are your thoughts on protecting, defending against the use of Gen AI in real-time video, audio calls? There was, for example, a billion loss of a Hong Kong bank confronted with this kind of cyber attack. Jürgen, what are your thoughts on that, on this practical, well, I think it's one of the most current challenges we face right now.
Yeah, we have seen it in our organization that we have been attacked via deepfake, and having a voice of a C-level person in our organization and trying to trick someone to do something that they shouldn't. So we're going to see this, and also combinations of different attacks using deepfake and those kind of actions as well.
Yeah.
I have my former employer that Saxo Bank is usually looking at financial predictions and so on, and their last outrageous prediction, as they normally call it, is that Gen AI deepfake should trigger a national security crisis. That is what they predict in more of a black swan event, so to say. But we are getting there, and it is not hard in our culture and so on to trust everything that we see and hear, and it is hard to act upon that in a good fashion without the stampede on the stock market or anything like that.
And how did you act on this particular example you're mentioning, that you were confronted with an AI generated voice of your C-level colleagues who ask people to do something they shouldn't do? What was your response, and how do you make sure that this won't happen again?
Yeah, it's having that discussion, having that, saying this can happen, listen to this, how should you treat this, because it was on our other BUs that were hit by this, and he just understood that this was a trick. It wasn't something that were any facts within it, so it was quite easy, but they will get better and so on. So having a discussion, how should you treat this, which channels should you check your everything that we do, so doing these like 4i principles and those kind of things. It's standard, we have that already, but we sometimes we don't really have that on top of mind when we're having issues that we need to do this now. Similar as we're having phishing, that they're trying to make us eager to do something straight away before we are thinking.
Yeah. Do you consider, Jürgen, deepfake as the key thing to watch in the near future? Or are there other developments you'd like to point out?
I think the combination is the hardest thing that we are getting hit with. Having that in different ways or forms, trying to social engineer us to something that we shouldn't. And especially if two persons are telling you to do something, then we're more eager to do that. As we saw this Hong Kong attack, where there were teams meeting where there was a lot of people in that meeting, and everyone were under consensus that we should pay out this money. And of course, the person that would do it, then yeah, it makes sense that we do it. All of my peers are saying it, so why shouldn't I do it?
Yeah, Hanna, what is, according to you, the key thing to watch in the near future, the key development, the key challenge?
But it is, as Jørgen are stating, this is one of the area that are increasing as we speak. And this utilization of hybrid, meaning that both from a voice perspective, but also email perspective, you can very much combine things. You can place a fake news. That is what we are going to see become a huge threat. And again, fake news is increasing in all dimensions. So be careful. And again, Sharon, the key is your people, your human being, because as it is right now, they are typically the one that has the last click, no matter if it's a payout or a move of money. So the more you can train, make them aware, and that goes for the entire board, C-level of the company, etc. It's not just you can say man in the middle or man on the floor. It's the entire organization that we see are being explored to the new threat.
Last but not least, shortly to both of you, we were talking about wars, battlefields, threats, all kind of, well, let's say more or less pessimistic part of the spectrum. Can imagine people are a bit like worried right now. Are you both still on the positive side of the spectrum that we can deal with all the challenges that are coming up to us in the near future? Hanna?
I think we need to be clever. And that means, do we start to get these instructions, indication? I think we need to listen to them, because it's not a one-man army. And as I said, we are seeing hybrid attack. We are seeing a lot of things going on, both for destroying business, but also to collect intellectual properties.
Yeah.
So it's not to be pessimistic, but I think we need to be clever and talk together, share what we can share, no matter if it's the local country's cyber defense center, etc.
Thanks. Jürgen, two final last words for you. You're still on the positive side of the spectrum?
Yeah, I'm still positive. I think we have the data advantage, but currently we have that in different silos. We have all the data from our email in one silo. We have our firewalls in one silo. If we're able to combine all these sensors, then we have the upper hand.
Combining and be clever. I would say that's the key takeaway for today. Thank you very much, Hanna and Jürgen, for today.